Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm Carla Sones, and I am delighted and honored to have our guest with us today. You're going to be hearing in a little bit from Jill Bland, who is a managing partner at Southwest Michigan First. She leads the economic development team, or jobs team, as they call it at Southwest Michigan First. She has 35 years of experience in economic development, a world of stories, a wealth of information, and she has been an amazing mentor to myself and others. And I am just really excited for you to hear from Jill Bland. Welcome, everyone. I'm Carla Sones, and I'm here for the America's Jobs Team podcast powered by Consultant Connect. And I am honored is the word that I can think of today because our guest on America's Jobs Team is Jill Bland. And for those of you that may not know Jill, she is 100% amazing. She's leads the team of economic developers here at Southwest Michigan First and has been a mentor to many, including myself. And I am just excited to be able to pick her brain and hopefully instill upon everyone in our listening audience some of the wisdom that Jill provides to us each day. So Jill, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you very much for those kind words.
You're welcome. It is truly an honor to have you here. I know you did not have to travel far. Just upstairs and downstairs to the podcast studio this morning. But we are excited to have you here. And before we get started, I just wanted to have the listening audience learn a little bit about Jill Bland. So you've been in economic development for a while.
So 35 years?
35 amazing years. And I don't want to steal her thunder, but there's been some huge transformation that has happened in Kalamazoo since Jill started working in economic development. And more things definitely yet to come. And we're going to talk at the end about, and I know you're going to hate this part, so I'm going to give you a pre-warning because, Jill, you're a very humble person. But I'm going to ask you at the very end to say one thing that makes you most proud of in your career. And I can literally think of in the past 6 years that I've been working with you, probably a dozen things that you could say, but I'm curious to hear what you're going to say. So we'll save that for the end. We'll start with, in the 35 years that you've been doing economic development, you've seen a lot of leaders, and we're definitely in an interesting time right now. When you think about leadership today, you know, we're almost to 2020. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges that leaders are really facing?
I think the constant change that we continue to see, whether it's as we work on a project and we work with the governmental entities and the change and churn that we're seeing in those spaces. But also the other thing that comes into play is the whole cross-generational experiences that we're having, the need to have more information transparent, to have more information now immediate versus a longer term. It has become much more challenging from that aspect.
And you've had to, you know, our team here obviously is very cross-generational. So you've had a lot of experience, not only in our community, but also in an organization that crosses many, many generations. What would you say is one of the things that you are learning about working with many generations?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I can't remember what show I was watching this weekend, but they were talking about the whole cross-generational phenomena. It's not new. Mm-mm. You know, it's gone on as long as man has gone on. As technology improves and the speed and the transparency with social media and everything else that's out there, you know, the need to listen to others has changed. And that's one of the things as we work with, me being a baby boomer, you know, working with the millennials and others, to listen better to what they have to say, to have everybody at the table, all the generations at the table, to have and be part of that discussion.
Yeah, and listening, I think, is so important, and it's both-sided. You know, I think there's so much to learn from people who have been doing this for a while and have just the wisdom of going through many seasons of leadership in life. So there's definitely a lot of learning that can be done for people on the younger spectrum as well. So we've already talked about listening, but what's another characteristic that you think that great leaders should possess?
I think having the ability to bring people to the table and the right people to the table, especially, you know, in our world of economic development, as we work on projects, bringing everybody that will impact a project to the table from the beginning and talking about how you're going to overcome any of those obstacles that may be in place, but really, you know, coalescing all aspects to a project, to a community, to any effort that you're doing.
And I know you are, from my opinion, you're like a master at that. You've always been really well connected. You hold partnerships and relationships really dear and have just really stood by a lot of those partnerships and made sure that they were on a very firm, stable foundation. But I know you've also learned from a lot of other people in your life. Is there somebody in your life that's really been an example for you on how to be good at kind of bringing or coalescing, as you said, like those individuals together and just really honoring people for their individual contribution?
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, I would look at my parents because my dad was a great leader and at the job that he had, and he would bring people together who had very differing opinions. He was in the educational world and he would get very frustrated on many occasions, but in the end, there seemed to always be a win-win outcome for him. But when I look at who were people that really influenced me and what I do today, this is kind of an interesting one. So there was one leader that I go all the way back to high school. So my freshman year in high school, when we did our assessments on what you should do in life, mine came back, I should be an engineer, but again, this is back in the 70s and women didn't become engineers. And so I was discouraged from going down that path. But as I looked around my junior year and what do I want to do, there was a young leader here in Kalamazoo. Her name was Cheryl Scully. And she was shortly after that became the city manager. But we had a problem in our downtown area with congestion and she was working on that, and I don't know why, but I really kind of latched onto and followed her with this project. It was called Rail Consolidation in downtown Kalamazoo. Carla's laughing.
Wait, I'm laughing because it's all coming back.
35, 40 years later, we're still having the same discussion. But Cheryl brought all these people to the table from the various aspects of the community at the state level and at the federal level to really look at how this was impacting the community. And I followed that through my junior year, senior year in high school. And when I started college, I wanted to be a city manager until I started taking some of the public policy classes. And then I decided, no, that's not for me. But coming full circle, I graduated with a business degree. And my first job out of college was working for an economic development group in a neighboring county. And I think I still saw that as kind of part of that city manager aspiration, even though it was going to happen in a different vein. And so that's really what kind of brought me into the whole economic development world. And Cheryl, she went on from Kalamazoo to lead Phoenix for many years. And then from there, she went to San Antonio. So she's done great things in every community. And if you kind of look at some of those great things, it's always been because she coalesced people together.
Yeah.
And so that really kind of gave me my foundation.
I love that. That's an amazing story. And it truly, I mean, when you say you were supposed to be an engineer, I can see it.
Oh, that's why I love to do economic development.
Yes.
I drive my plant managers nuts when I go in and we walk the floor and I'm asking them questions about how does this work and, you know, how do you really make that product? And yeah.
That's what's so incredible about this profession is that, you know, everybody kind of lands here with different lens and different viewpoint and obviously different talents, but once you see really good economic developers, you can see like, oh, yeah, you do kind of have that engineering background or, oh, yeah, you do really have kind of that like planning, like urban planning background. It's really neat. So let's talk about advice. You know, 35 years in, I'm sure you have a lot of things that you'd go back and even give yourself advice from younger years. But if you have, and I know you're coaching people on your team now that are just getting started in economic development, which is so cool. What advice do you have for those people on your team that are just getting started and for everybody in the listening audience that's just kind of getting started? You know, they may be 1 to 5 to 10 years in. What advice do you have for them about leadership and economic development?
So one of the big things that I always look at, be humble, ask questions. be a good listener, you know, just ask for advice. There are no dumb questions in my world. Sometimes I may, you know, be a little flippant with my responses, but, you know, ask questions. If you don't understand how something works or why something is the way it is, seek out somebody that has experienced it or knows the answer to that and just ask questions. But you also got to be a good listener. If you ask that question, you got to listen and take in what somebody is saying. You may not agree with them, but you really need to be listening. I think the other thing is, too, a lot of folks, as they progress up the chain of leadership, they think they have to solve every problem on day one. And I think that's something that you're not going to solve most problems on day one. And you have to be prepared that it may take, you know, a week, but it may take years to solve that problem. And you just have to accept that that's how it is.
And I love that, you know, going back to what you said about, you know, bringing the right people to the table. I think that knowing that problems aren't going to get solved on day one is why it's so important not to burn those bridges with
Absolutely.
Relationships, because you just never know when all those people are going to be back together because the timing is right at that time to solve that problem. And if all the bridges have been burnt, it's going to be a lot harder
That's
to
right.
have the conversation. So let's talk about changing jobs. I know you haven't had a lot of job change, but I know you've been in the profession a lot and you've, you know, worked with economic developers throughout our region and just have had a lot of experience, not only in economic development, but also in the business community, you know, seeing leaders struggle because sometimes, you know, it may be really time for a change for them. What do you, when you, think about changing jobs, either for yourself or when you see it for other people, how do you feel like people would know? Like, how do you know when it's time to change jobs?
Well, I think when it's not fun anymore, you know, and I'm a firm believer that your job should be fun. It should bring you great joy in what you're doing. And when that starts to not happen, it's time to be thinking about it. And sometimes somebody else might be the one that points it out to you. I was in a position where I would come home at night and maybe it wasn't always a very positive person. My husband would always say, don't kick the cat. Now, I was not kicking a cat, but
right.
that's what he would always say is stop kicking the cat. If you come home every night and you're this miserable, it's time to change. So sometimes it's listening to others that are around you and see what it's doing to you. But many times you know in your heart that it is time to move on. The other element is there is if you're not being challenged on a regular basis in your job, it is time to change. I'm a firm believer in constant growth, constant learning. And if it's not challenging you, you're not learning. You're not growing.
I think that's a great answer. So let's talk a little bit about being an American. And I know for you, you are a huge Ohio State fan, which just hurts my heart. But
that's a true
we do
American.
Come together. Well, we do come together when we talk about being an American. So for the listening audience, tell us what to Jill Bland it means to be an American.
Well, of course, to be free, to live and work where I want, to vote for who I want, to attend the church that I want. I've had the opportunity to travel to many countries where you could not openly have a religion, and that's always interesting. But also to know my friends and family have the same rights that everyone else across the country has. And then, of course, to love my Buckeyes openly and honestly.
I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it. I brought it up first so it didn't hurt as bad when she threw Ohio State back at me as a Michigan fan.
It is a lot of fun to live in Michigan and to be a Buckeye fan. I will share that with you.
I guess it really is right now.
Especially right now, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the question that you, I know, are dreading the most, but I'm going to ask it because I feel like it's a really powerful question, especially for you, because I've worked with you for 6 years and I've heard amazing stories that have happened in Kalamazoo, not only in the 6 years, but also for decades before. And you rarely talk about, you know, what truly makes you really proud, those really transformational projects. So now is the time, and I'm going to make you tell us what's been that thing that makes you most proud of in your career? Is there a project that stands out? Is there something that you worked on that you just are immensely proud of when you look back at your 35 years?
You know, I think for me, and we kind of live by this adage at Southwest Michigan First, but for me is knowing that I made an impact on an individual's life and I perhaps was part of a team that made it possible to put food on their table at night. That is just so important to me. And I had one project back in the early 2000s when Kalamazoo saw about, I think there were 6 paper mills that closed. We saw headquarters of facilities change hands. We had a project that announced 900 jobs. And I worked the opening day when they had their first job fair. We had 15,000 people show up in line waiting to apply for an interview for the job. And to walk that line and talk with the people and how excited they were, that one particular moment really was the culmination for me. And I mean, I still think about that on a regular basis. And I think the other one is, and this is kind of a silly one, but one of my projects that we worked on needed to have a water tower. And this is a project that occurred along our highway. So we go by it frequently. Well, we put a water tower up for this project. And every time, for years after that, we went by it with the girls, my 2 daughters in the car with me, they would always say, "Mom, there's your water tower. There's your landmark." And I heard my oldest daughter share that with her child, now my grandson. And it was kind of a weird experience, but it did make me feel really proud that, you know, they recognized a little bit of what I do every day.
Yeah, well, those are just 2 of the amazing stories that Jill Bland has so many more of. And Jill, thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast today. I know that you like to be behind the scenes and you like to make things happen for others, but we appreciate you taking a step out of your comfort zone and in front of the mic so that the world could hear from you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Wow, it was so awesome to talk to Jill. I get to work with her every day, but just hearing her talk about her stories of impact and her leadership advice. She is a world of advice. She has amazing stories. And I just am really glad that she was able to share that. It's not really her thing to talk in front of a group. She likes to work behind the scenes and make magic happen for others. And I just appreciate her getting out of her comfort zone and doing that for us. And I'm also really excited because next week on the podcast, we have another privilege. We are going to have a guest from Tallahassee, Florida, and Christina Paredes is a phenomenal powerhouse, up-and-coming economic developer. She is a hard charger. She is uber talented, and I am just really excited for you to hear from her. She has 13 years of experience in local government across several different disciplines, but she's landed in economic development. She's passionate about what she does, and many view her as really a top achiever, high performer, up and comer, going to be a leader at a major economic development organization someday. So I look forward to having Christina on the podcast, and I hope you tune in.